Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for May 27th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Even in most recent books, there's still a lot more male animal characters than female animal characters.
We blocked the cognitive deficits caused by sleep deprivation. You breathe, you do a forced exhalation to charge up a race car, and it drives the car around a track.
Not everything that occurs to us that makes sort of quote-unquote common sense is actually backed by science.
This week, why sleep deprivation can cloud your thinking, what the brain waves of sleeping teenagers reveal, and how a video game helps sick kids strengthen their lungs. Also, why a team of epidemiological sleuths invaded school graduations across Maryland last year. But first, a new study reveals extreme gender bias in children's books. Suzanne Bard has that story.
Where the Wild Things Are and Babar the Elephant are beloved by both children and adults. But like the majority of kids' books, their main characters are male. Florida State University sociologist Janice McCabe and her colleagues analyzed over 5,600 children's books published between the years of 1900 and 2000, and they found that males were featured as central characters more than 1.5 times more often than females. But she says the worst discrepancies were for animal characters.
Male animals are central characters over 2.5 times more often than female animals.
And while the gender balance for human characters has improved in recent years, the disparity remains for animals.
There's still a ratio of nearly 2 to 1 for animals. So even in most recent books, there's still a lot more male animal characters than female animal characters, and it doesn't look like that's becoming more equal over time.
She adds that gender-biased books may reinforce the idea that female characters are less important than male characters.
Hopefully getting the results of the study out will have people think about this topic, you know, whether they be publishers or parents. You know, I think it's important that parents and others who, you know, buy, select, read children's books to children pay attention to gender inequality and stereotypes, you know, when selecting these books. Or do creative things change the gender of certain characters? And also discuss the absence of female characters with kids.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Next, kids love video games, but medical therapies, not so much. That's why one team of researchers is trying to combine them for kids with a chronic lung disease. Justin Warner has the story.
Many kids with cystic fibrosis, a chronic lung disease, do a kind of breathing therapy called huffing. It's a series of sharp exhales to clear their airways of fluid. It's meant to be done several times a day, but kids get bored with it and often slack off. So University of Vermont pediatric neurologist Peter Bingham and game design students at Champlain College adapted it into two different video games.
And one game, you breathe, you do a forced exhalation to charge up a race car, and it drives the car around a track. And there are other little subplots in that game of cleaning the car and breathing to fill up the water tank that is used to clean the car and to fuel the car. And the other game is more of an exploratory game where you're helicoptering around a landscape and you encounter these animals that are covered with slime, and then your mission is to clear the slime off of the animals, and you do that by doing this forced exhalation.
Bingham's team found that the kids' lung function improved when they played the game for 2 to 4 weeks, but not when they huffed on a similar game-free apparatus. Yet, the kids weren't any more diligent about doing the huffing with the video game than they were on the dummy system. So Bingham would like to design a new study, one that compares the game to a more realistic home huffing regimen.
Thanks, Justin. Brainwave patterns in sleeping teenagers remain stable over time, even though their brains are developing rapidly. This according to a report in the Journal of Neuroscience. In the study, 45 young people slept at a lab while the scientists imaged their brainwaves. The volunteers came back to the lab 2 years later and repeated the process. The researchers were able to match the new readings with the old ones with a high degree of accuracy. They say that doctors may one day be able to look for changes in EEGs over time to help diagnose brain disorders. And in other brain-related news, researchers have found that in sleep-deprived rats, tiny sections of the brain can fall asleep while other areas remain awake. So even an alert-looking rat may be unable to perform simple tasks because a few important neurons are fast asleep. And speaking of sleep deprivation, Suzanne says it can impair our memory and cloud our thinking.
That's right. And sleep deprivation is also known to boost a chemical called adenosine in the brain. Now, studies in mice have tied those two strands more closely together. In one study, University of Pennsylvania neurobiologist Ted Abel and his colleagues genetically engineered some of the mice, altering brain cells called glial cells that produce adenosine.
And we found that when we blocked the release of chemicals from these glial cells, we blocked the cognitive deficits caused by sleep deprivation.
They got similar results in normal mice, using a drug that blocked adenosine receptors in the hippocampus, a major memory center in the brain. Abel notes that many groggy people already take an adenosine-blocking drug. It's called caffeine. But a more targeted drug could potentially keep our minds sharp without keeping us up late another night.
Thanks, Suzanne. Graduation ceremonies are taking place at schools around the country, and principals and deans shake thousands of students' hands as they accept their diplomas. But will all those handshakes spread germs? David Bashai, coordinator of health economics at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, says he was surprised to learn that very little data exists on the safety of handshakes. So he deployed a team of students to schools around the state of Maryland. They swabbed the hands of school officials before and after graduation ceremonies.
They brought them to the Johns Hopkins microbiology lab that day to really see, you know, what was growing.
They found harmless bacteria in 93% of the samples, but only one case of antibiotic-resistant MRSA from one person's right hand.
We were just trying to find out, for the sake of the principals who wonder, how dirty am I after a graduation? Now we have an answer. You're going to have a lot of skin flora, but very uncommonly will you have something that can be found to be a pathogen. And our main conclusion was that there wasn't a lot of pathogenic bacteria being transferred in handshakes.
Bashai says the study had a shoestring budget, so they weren't able to determine whether flu and cold viruses are commonly transferred this way. But he says the study highlights the importance of not relying on assumptions when it comes to public health.
Not everything that occurs to us that makes sort of quote-unquote common sense is actually backed by science. And I think we really owe it to policymakers to gather this data.
He stresses that washing or sanitizing your hands regularly is still important for stopping the spread of germs. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll tell you how scientists are mapping the history of the universe with the help of quasars, and how the search for intelligent life beyond our planet is targeting the most promising planets. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.